My Journey with Cancer.
I've discovered a golden truth that from the start I was in your heart. A revelation that changed my world, that from round one I am God's son. To be sure in my mind just who I am brings such peace, such joy. In my heart, in my soul, this means everything. I'm a man on a mission, I'm God's envoy. For now I know His word is true, and I am more than my work or what I do. And I am loved, and I am His. I am set free. In Christ I have my true identity.
I'm not a cancer sufferer. I'm a human being with cancer. It's my belief that God has called me to be frank and open about my cancer and my journey, whether it be long or short, to tell the world what it's like to have cancer and to walk that journey, and to share with anyone who will listen what God can do, so that you can see what cancer treatment is like. For many of us, it's a mystery and it's a frightening thing, but it isn't. It doesn't have to be. And if you listen to my journey, it might give you hope in yours.
Pops, yeah, we'd love to come on the journey with you.
Amen. My chemotherapy continues for a while, but my journey is not just a physical journey, it is also a spiritual journey, and this is the road that God is leading me on right now. It's chemo cycle 7, and once again the anti-sickness medication has made me sleepless. Sitting here in Doncaster, I got to thinking about whether I'm truly loved by God, and how is that working out in my life right now. I am loved, a thought echoed in our theme tune, which, if you're interested, is by Rising Hope and called True Identity, written by the late Reverend Andrew Gardner. The chorus states, I am loved, I am His, I am set free in Christ, I have my true identity. The words I am loved can almost seem like mockery when you're faced with the full horror of a cancer diagnosis and treatment, whatever the outcome. Yet the Bible is full of depictions of Jesus as a loving saviour. I suppose the very first question we ask is, how can a holy God love a person like me? Well, you'd be surprised just how much God, in Jesus, is prepared to love someone. I looked in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, where it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I know I'm in the world, but is it the world loved by God? And even if I am, I'm not special. I'm just one in nearly 8 billion people. How can God have time to love me? Then, in the letter to the Ephesians, in chapter 5, I find this. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. More hopeful, perhaps. I'm certain I'm in the church. I said the sinner's prayer. I remember that. Gave my life to Jesus, made him my Lord, believed in him. But I'm still only one person in a church of millions. And I keep asking, does God see my suffering, my doubts, my pain? Finally, in Galatians chapter 2, I read, The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, verses 27 to 32, we find the story of a tax collector called Levi. Levi, as a tax collector, was a collaborator working for the occupying forces of the Roman Empire. Levi would be deeply unpopular, a price he seemed willing to pay for his physical comfort and wealth. On the surface, at least, he cared not for the hatred of his fellow Israelites. None of this fazed Levi as he sat at the tax office. He easily ignored the insults, the threats and contempt of those who had no choice but to pay. He didn't care what people thought, as long as they paid. At least, that's what he told himself. Then before him stands a man who is different, and rather than threats, he gives Levi an invitation.
Come.
Luke chapter 5, verse 27. After these things he, that is Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he left all, rose up and followed him. Poor Levi had no defence for this. He'd hardened his heart against all the insults, the death threats, and the general disdain that he encountered every day. But love? For love, he had no defence. You can defend against hatred or prejudice. You can build walls that keep people at bay, clothe yourself in armour against demands and strategies. But love? Love is like water. It overcomes, either forcefully, as in a flood, and, as in Levi's case, or gently, over time, seeping into every crack and crevice, bringing down the walls quietly and slowly. There are also other stories of Jesus reaching out in love to those who perhaps don't deserve it, but come in the hope of it anyway. I'm thinking of a Roman centurion, a man who would also have earned the hatred of the people. Being both an occupier and a foreigner, he was doubly unworthy of God's love. Yet when he comes to beg for his servant's healing, Jesus has nothing but compassion and grants the man's petition. Again, a leper, perhaps the most pathetic of individuals, shunned because of an incurable and disfiguring disease. A man banished from society and literally untouchable. He falls at Jesus' feet, begging for someone, anyone, to have mercy. He knows that Jesus can heal him, and he begs that he will. And Jesus, with all the love and compassion of a holy God, simply reaches out and touches him. Probably the first time in many, many years that anyone has touched his skin. "I am willing," said Jesus, "be healed." An encounter with Jesus brings hope, brings healing, brings wholeness. If, as it said, emblazoned across the front of North Featherston Gospel Hall, God is indeed love, then all that Jesus does for these people must be born out of that love. So why does it feel so different now? And I don't mean just for me. I have a friend in Christ, a fellow Christian, whose mother is struggling greatly with cancer and the treatment, which is wreaking havoc in her body. And it's looking less and less like she will receive a miracle, more and more like she's abandoned by God. And it is very, very hard in those situations to encourage somebody to believe that God loves them and that this is part of God's loving plan. I know I would welcome a miraculous healing. But I've also realised that to be true to my faith in Christ and my belief that he is the Son of God who gave himself for me, and my belief that he is sovereign of the universe and that everything he does is born out of his boundless love for me, I have to be prepared for a future without divine healing, as we call it, a future where I could even die of cancer. Before I became a Christian, I wasn't a nice person. I was a lout on a council estate, into all kinds of trouble. At 16, I was proud of the fact that people would cross the road rather than walk past me on the same pavement. I went out drinking most nights I had money, which was most nights. How, you might ask, could a pure and holy God love someone like that? The wizard Gandalf in Tolkien's The Hobbit tells us this, and don't worry, it's only a piece of fiction. Saruman believes it is only great power that can hold evil in check. That is not what I have found. I found it is the small everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keep the darkness at bay. Small acts of kindness and love. I found in God's church that through his people, God's love is indeed demonstrated as Jesus told us to in John 15. Through small acts of kindness, a get well card, a wish, a hug when you need to be held, tears in the eyes of friends who pray for you, strangers I've never met and never will, seek God for my healing in prayer every day. Little acts of kindness and love drive back the darkness for me. But it's more than that. 2 Corinthians says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions." God, the Father of mercy and comfort, has so many times come to me personally and ministered his healing into my soul. The journey I walk will one day be over, but I will never walk alone. God is ever present to comfort me. I've been held by him, calmed by him, strengthened by him. His Holy Spirit touches the pain and it goes. He pours supernatural love into my heart at 3 a.m. or whenever I need it. The Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It's an interesting word, nothing. It means nothing. There isn't anything that can separate me from God's love for me. No principalities, no powers, no authorities, no distance, no time, no circumstance, no disease. God loves me. That is a fact. How do I know that? Well, the most supreme demonstration of love in the whole Bible was when Jesus died on the cross. It's easy for us to talk about that in quite conversational ways, but we should be awestruck every time we think of this, that the God of the universe, the creator of everything, the self-existent one, should so desire to restore our relationship with him that he sent his one and only son to die for us so that we could avoid dying forever. That Jesus, as he walked on this planet of ours, went about doing good and yet still was dragged before the Roman courts and condemned to death. That he willingly stretched out his arms and allowed us to crucify him. Why? The Bible's very clear. Because he loved us and gave himself for us. More than that, because he loved you and gave himself for you. Many, many people speak about religion. Well, I'm not a religious man. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I believe that God loves me. And in everything he does and everything he says, he demonstrates that love to me. God does love me, I realise. And he loves me very much. I don't know how to express my belief that God allows me to carry this burden, not to destroy me, but simply because he knew I could not only carry it, but that I could turn it to good and use it in his kingdom. For me, that has become a privilege. Perhaps even more than that, perhaps I could call it an honour to suffer for Christ in this way. My constant prayer is that I might prove myself to be worthy of his love. But I also pray for you that you will find that love, that it will well up in your hearts, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're trying to overcome. Remember, God loves you. He gave himself for you. And all you need to do is reach out to take hold of that love and make it your own.
Your love shining like the sun, pouring like the rain, raging like the storm, refreshing me again. Ooh, I receive your love.
You've been listening to my journey through cancer. So I'd like to invite you to join me next week at the same place on the dial, at the same time, and walk a while with me. If you've found what you've heard today helpful, if it's brought up issues in your life, then why not phone in to the Flame Studios? If you want to talk to me in particular, then Flame will pass your contact details on to me, and I will be happy to talk to you as soon as I can.